morning, folks. Happy Friday. Welcome back. This is Mark Call, and we are going to be live this morning, again, talking about the events of a week where I guess if there's a single theme, it has to do with things that we've known for a long time, but we just keep finding out it's probably worse than we thought, but it's definitely worse than we've been lied about and told. Anyway, got David Justice on the line. We are still praying that Randy Yarborough will be back with us soon. And in the meanwhile, David, let me say good morning to you, and let's talk about what is going on. Okay, I know that you said just before we came on air that you'd follow my lead. Let's start with what I think is one of the probably more startling stories, but not surprising. That has to do with the U.S. having announced its new strategic policy on the use of nukes. And basically it boils down to, hey, we don't care about whether we start a nuclear world war or not. If we feel threatened, we might just use nukes even if the threat is conventional or otherwise. So basically what they did is drop the bar on using nukes. And as you might suspect, there's a whole lot of people that have said, oh, that's kind of stupid, that are just shocked, I tell you, that the U.S. would take yet one more big step towards provoking somebody or other, just about anybody at this point, to take us out with the first strike. Go ahead. Good morning.
Well, I think clearly what is happening, clearly to me what is happening, at least according to my narrative, the ugly players of the world, the ones that are in control of the narrative, the ones that are the evil rulers, the masters, are losing their grip because truth is coming at them in such a way that the truth has no defense. It stands on its own. And as Putin downplays the need for nuclear war, these people that are ultimately in control of the planet using the United States government to foment a nuclear war because they need it to cover up their crimes so that they have a smokescreen for in which they can escape public scrutiny, they need a war. And so, of course, they're going to lower the bar, and of course, they're going to blame whoever they can. But this week, you know, Putin did come out and downplay the idea of a nuclear war. So as he diminishes the threat, the fact that the Biden administration would increase the threat, I think further exposes that they are the war party. And so the good news is that they're exposed. And the more good news is as they're backed into a corner, the more obvious they become. And I think they're becoming obvious, and I hope they're becoming obvious to an increasing number of people, because the truth is doing its work, and it's to expose the darkness. Thanks, Mark.
Okay, well, I can't argue with any of that. I guess what I would say is let's hit some of the other high points. So far, at least, nobody has decided that was a reason to hit us hard. And first, the one that I would go to next normally, I'm going to save just for a minute, because I think it's one of those things that we're going to want to discuss, kick around, and lay out some arguments on, because it really is kind of fascinating. But certainly, probably the next one that fits the "gee, we knew this all along" category, but it can't be hidden anymore, is the debates this week. There were two that were high profile. One in Pennsylvania, where the fellow named Fetterman, who had a stroke and basically is medically and psychologically, intellectually, and communication-wise unfit to be dog catcher. Let's be honest. There's a time for people to say, hey, you know what? I'm medically incapable of doing the job. I better just back out of here. He engaged in a debate, and quite frankly, for those that saw it, it was beyond embarrassing. And what was fascinating to me was even some of the worst of the scumbags, like Liz Cheney in Wyoming, wrote an op-ed that appeared in the Daily Mail in the UK, and she said, yeah, this was embarrassing. And furthermore, she actually got one thing right, and she said, essentially, I'm going to paraphrase just a bit here, how stupid do they think the American people are to put up candidates like this and actually think people are going to watch this guy and not think they're being treated like fools? Go ahead.
Well, and simultaneously, Barack Obama stands up this week and covers for the guy. He endorses him.
Well, and Kamala and the Biden puppet went out to campaign for him.
But, well, and by virtue of endorsing him, there, you know, Barack Obama exposes himself as to how inane an endorsement that actually is. But then, of course, we know who's speaking in Biden's ear. If it's not Barack Obama, it's a committee behind Barack Obama, and it's a committee behind Joe Biden that's actually running the country. And again, I want to say that how absolutely obtuse the Democrats and the mainstream media are being to ignore Biden's handicap. So, of course, Barack Obama is going to ignore Fetterman's handicap in his endorsement.
You'd think he would have to. I don't think he recognizes it as a handicap. He looks and sees it in the mirror and says, hey, well, you're going to be a bit. I got to. The debate began and it ended basically when Fetterman got up on stage and was introduced and said, well, you know, you got this really important job you're trying to run for. And what do you say about your competence? And his response, hello, good evening. I mean, good night. I can't even repeat what he said because it was so inane. And you go, how could anybody actually let those words come out of their mouth unless there's nobody home? Go ahead.
Well, it's my understanding. Currently, there's been 260,000 ballots, unverified ballots, that have been sent out.
Oh, you're talking about Pennsylvania, so 240,000. That basically they let's just call them what they are. They're fraud.
The only way that the players, the globalists, can win this battle is by cheating, and it's clear that. They're going to go on a full-out cheat. You know, already Jenna Griswold, the Secretary of State of Colorado, for example, she got caught sending 30,000 ballots out to unregistered voters. Registrations to unregistered voters that were illegals. So all over the country, they're at it again. The mules are delivering their fake ballots and depositing them. They're being busted. So this is war. We're doing a war right now. And, this is a war that ultimately will reveal the truth and expose the evil. And that's my prayer constantly.
Well, and I agree. We need to be continuing to pray that the evil would be exposed and that the truth would come out because we were promised that this is what would happen. By the way, in New York, you had the same thing where what's being called the gaffe, where Kathy Hochul, the wannabe dictator again, in response to questions about the fact that she keeps releasing criminals and that they have so-called bail reform that says, you know, if you're a Black Lives Matter or Antifa type that likes to burn stuff down, rape and kill people or shove people in front of subway trains, come on, you don't have to worry about bail. We'll just let you go. And New Yorkers were concerned about the crime that's now out of sight and getting worse by the day. Anyway, and her response during the debate was that she basically said, I don't know what the big deal is, or I don't understand what y'all are so upset about. I was talking to Lee Zeldin, her opponent. Why won't you be so upset about the fact that we're destroying the city and letting crime run amok? And interestingly, I looked at the New York Times, 5 takeaways from the debate, and guess what they don't want to talk about?
The left, the far left, the globalists who are masquerading as Democrats, they're not even liberals anymore. They're so far left that they're traitors. They're executing treason inside the republic, attempting to overthrow the sovereignty of the American people. And that's what we're witnessing. And we'll take it all the way to Arizona, to where Carrie Lake's opponent Hobbs won't even debate her because she knows that the truth is much more powerful than their narrative.
I pulled up just while we were talking. I pulled up that New York Times offensive bit of tripe, and I also pulled up a story from one of the local TV channels, and it says here's their summary of the debate. Just to make the point here, Hochul, Zeldin talks security, but Gaff also raises eyebrows. Now here's what's interesting about the story. If you read the story, you say, well, gee, what Gaff? And the answer is, they don't even use the word in the text of the story, and they're not about to tell you what she actually said, which shows you exactly how just absolutely corrupt everybody covering all of this crap is. And there's no polite way to put it anymore, David. We've gone so far beyond reasoned debate and informed consent when it comes to medical issues. And on every front, anything even remotely approaching honest journalism or facts, you name it, and it boggles the mind how far gone things are.
Well, the scary possibility is that the American people are being played, and they might be successful, and that's what they're hoping. Of course, they're hoping that they'll be successful in their lives. But the good news is, I think that, you know, given how many people actually did get out and vote for Donald Trump, there's a lot of voters that know that the election was stolen. And so they're a little jaded now. So they're seeing through a different set of eyes. They've taken off the old glasses that facilitated the narrative. And I think they're looking through the eyes of truth now. So the players on the left, these are acts of desperation, which bring us more to the threat of a war being initiated by Biden, because eventually when they're backed into a corner and they've got nothing left to lose, then they'll ultimately lose it.
And one other thing, I guess, and you've kind of touched on it, but we need to go there, is I haven't had any illusions about this for a long time. I know without any question that the intent is to steal this next election. And I know that people know that it's going to be stolen. So that makes it a little bit more interesting as far as the dynamic is concerned. But I also know that the media is going to lie about it. They're going to cover up for it. And that criminals, like the so-called attorney general, have already come out and shown their true colors. So, for example, we have people around the country that are watching and looking at drop boxes. And I've seen photo after photo, videos up online. TGP is doing the yeoman's work there. But there are a lot of others that are coming out and saying, look, we got to watch and we're going to see what's going on here. A group in Arizona that are election observers are basically being taken out by the attorney general. He promises to address what he calls voter intimidation, saying, how dare these people show up and think they have a right to try to make sure that the election is honest. And then here's the no surprise part. This is from 100% Fed Up and TGP as well. Essentially, what has happened is, looks like there are fakes, the usual probably FBI informants or confidential human sources or whatever they call them, that are out there essentially masking themselves up. Hey, that's easier now given the medical BS. They arm themselves and they show up and they take some videos at a Dropbox just so that the attorney general can say, see, look what the right-wing extremists are doing. Then they disappear and nobody ever finds any evidence that they were ever there. But the media, of course, covers it. And so that's a story here. Armed and masked Dropbox election observers who look a lot like fakes show up at a Dropbox in Arizona, and that's what's getting the coverage. So as people realize, look, they're trying to steal it again, and you even had Hitlery this week coming out and talking about the vast right-wing conspiracy again. Do you know that the Republicans are going to steal the presidential election in 2024, too? Yeah, why? By trying to make sure it's honest. It's the Hegelian dialectic. It's right out of Rules for Radicals. You know, if you know what you're doing, and you do because you're doing it, you're going to accuse your opponent of it, and preemptively so, as a matter of fact. And if you've got the attorney general in your pocket, and he's a lying criminal crook, well, then you can actually arrest people for crimes that you committed and blame them. Isn't that clever? Go ahead.
This has been going on for decades.
Yep.
You know, they want to blame Donald Trump for being the spoiler. But the bottom line is this thing has been spoiled for a long, long time. Donald Trump just came to reveal it. Now their narrative is falling apart, so they're getting desperate. Yeah, what Hillary Clinton came out and said this week was basically that she's concerned that the Supreme Court is going to give power back to the legislatures of the states to determine the law, the election laws, and she was coming across like that's some sort of big sin, like the Supreme Court has that power. No, the Supreme Court only has the power to interpret the Constitution and distinguish that the state legislatures have always been the representative of the people, because they are directly elected by the people, who are the sovereign. And you see, that's what the left forgets, is that the people of America are sovereign. They forget how the American people are sovereign. They're so obsessed and consumed with power, and they've been that way for so long, that all they can do to sustain their power is to sustain their narrative and attack the truth when it comes out to expose their narrative. And so that's where we're at in America, is we've got, and this is why it's actually kind of funny for those of us that have the eyes to see them defend lies and to defend a narrative which ultimately keeps them in power.
Okay, well, and I agree with one exception, small exception, I guess, David. I don't know that any on the left have forgotten the things you talked about, if they ever knew them. They can't forget them if they didn't know them. But I think, more importantly, they do know that the Constitution is the supreme law of the land. I think Hillary Clinton knows that the legislature is the sole authority to decide how the electors for a presidential election are put in place and so forth. And I think, basically, that's why they hate the entire concept of a written law and a Constitution. And especially things like that First Amendment right to a freedom of speech and assembly, which is no longer granted by anybody that hates the Constitution like they do, much less the right to back it all up with physical force, by the force of arms, when it's necessary. And they're making sure, I remember what John F. Kennedy said, that those who would make peaceful revolution impossible make violent revolution inevitable. And you can see they're pushing towards it.
Well, getting back toward freedom of speech, and let's go down this road and applaud Elon Musk for having accomplished the majority shares of Twitter and going in there and firing the chief financial officer and chief executive officer. And the amazing thing is that he will likely reinstate all of those people that were censored on Twitter, prompted by the government officials. And you probably know about the lawsuit where Fauci has been subpoenaed by a court to show up and discuss his involvement in talking to social media like Twitter to get them to censor people that oppose the whole COVID narrative. So the idea of free speech, you know, bravo Elon Musk for stepping up and bravo Kanye West for stepping up and speaking what needs some things that need to be said and exercising the idea of free speech, because that ultimately is a very critical, that's why it's the First Amendment, very critical element in maintaining freedom.
You're
and
right.
Liberty.
And of course, the right to petition your government for a redress of grievance. That's why a bunch of people are rotting in a gulag in the swamp. You left out one of the important firings, and this one, you got to see it on Zero Hedge. I noticed that the Waystream coverage didn't emphasize this. But one of the others that got given the heave-ho was a particularly noxious individual who is named, I don't care if I butcher the name or not, Vihaya Gadhia. And she is the so-called top legal and policy executive. No, her real title is she was the censorship czar. And she was given the boot. So good riddance to bad rubbish. She was key executive, says Politico, in charge of trust and safety, legal and policy functions. How's that for the company's moral authority. Get that. So she was the satanic moral authority on behalf of Twitter. You're right. It's time to get rid of a lot of these things, and we'll see how far it goes. But at least Elon's first steps were admirable.
You know, they were admirable. And here's something else that, and I've had people comment to me that is very important. That assuming that we pull this nation back, and we do have successful elections that. Successful by virtue of what I mean is people like Liz Cheney get the boot and we get conservatives in there, that it's important that we remember the roots of this country and the foundations and the covenant with God that this nation is founded on. So we need to take it back all the way to the root and not just win an election, but actually, you know, do some repenting and getting an alignment back to the truth of the principles, the first principles of constitutional law, which is really what's under attack here. It's not just the Constitution that's under the attack. It's the principles that American government is founded on. And we're at the precipice right now between the usurpers successfully overcoming one nation under God ideology and establishing one nation under a narrative policy. That's the ultimate legal battle that we're witnessing right now, Mark.
Well, if you recall, when you said that, it reminded me, I've got the video, or at least the audio, and have saved it, back during the Obama regime. when that particular the slime bag was up there, he would quote the Declaration of Independence. And he would, you know, the part about we hold these truths to be self-evident, all men are created equal and endowed by their creator part, anything that would have to do with the reference to the place from which power and authority descends, he would literally leave out the words. And it shows, you're right, they're simply saying, we don't hold those truths to be self-evident, because if we don't believe there's a God, we sure as blankety-blank, we don't believe you peons have any rights that come from any authority that we don't acknowledge, and any rights that we don't give you. They're privileges, and we'll take them away when we feel like it. And that really is kind of the crux of the matter. It was once self-evident truths, and now you can't even teach them in these cesspools. Because of course, if you have God-given rights, then all the things that they're doing would be unlawful.
There's only one way that the American people individually can be sovereign, and this nation is founded upon the idea of individual sovereignty, which means I am sovereign over myself, and I give up a portion of that sovereignty. I don't give up a portion of my sovereignty. I give up equality. I have to treat the other people as co-sovereigns, and so we come together as one nation under God, our sovereign, and inside that covenant, America is established. Now, that's not a narrative. That is the foundation of American jurisprudence, but our public education system and even our churches seem to not understand that point that America is in a covenant, and to the degree that we don't get that and we don't act that way, we are in rebellion. And so the leftists here, the globalists, are trying to take us away from that understanding so that we basically sink our own ship. So they're successful if we get entangled in their narrative and forget the actual truth and stand on that foundation and fight from that foundation, Mark.
Well, I agree. And when we get back, I want to take in a direction. I don't know if you saw this story or not, and I didn't want to get to it with not sufficient time left to kick it around. Because if you haven't seen it, I'm sure you probably are interested in it, but I would be surprised if you hadn't. Anyway, it goes like this. One of the summaries, and they were laughing and trying to make fun of it, was from Newsweek. And I'll just read you the headline as the music comes up. It says, Vladimir Putin, president of Russia, has been appointed by the head of the country's Russian Orthodox Church, Patriarch Kirill. And the more I see about this guy, the more I find to admire. He seems like a pretty bold and outspoken fella, kind of the opposite of Pope Satan. Anyway, he has been appointed, Putin, as the chief exorcist of Russia. And what he said about that is really kind of fascinating. Newsweek, of course, says that what they're doing here is they're whipping up a satanic panic. And the irony is they're right, because the satanic panic is on the Potomac, and it's basically taken over. And it's refreshing, if not a little bit disturbing, to see that in what was once called godless Russia, you have people like the patriarch of the Russian Orthodox Church, their equivalent of a pope, if you will, although he's not at all equivalent. This guy's got some backbone again. And of Vladimir Putin, who is not afraid to come right out and say that we are dealing with an enemy here, which is serving another satanic master. And what's, I think, the most disturbing about this is, irony of ironies, you know, the Russians are waking up and realizing something. Godless Russia has figured out that America, once America the Great, founded on those principles we've been talking about, is about as close to being a satanic host as anyone could possibly have imagined. And at least somebody is coming out and saying it. And with that, we should be at the bottom of the hour break. So we'll pick it up right there when we get back. are back, folks. This is the Drive Time Friday Show. Got David Justice online with me. We're talking about a whole bunch of things. Generally, this week at least, kind of having a particular theme, and that is we're promised in Scripture that the things that are hidden will be revealed. It's taking a long time, and arguably some of these things have been a long time coming. Besides, they should have been revealed at least officially a long time ago, and arguably they never will be, at least by the three-letter ministries of truth. But for the rest of us, yeah, it's becoming harder and harder to deny. Anyway, as we went to break, I mentioned a piece. The one that if you do a web search, you'll find lots and lots of references to is Newsweek. And, of course, they're trying to poo-poo it and ridicule what happened in the in Russia, where Vladimir Putin was named chief exorcist by Patriarch Kirill, the head of the country's Orthodox Church. And essentially, they do point out at least one thing correctly. He used the term denazification to describe what they intended to do in Ukraine. And no doubt about it, if you've seen the Azov Brigade and their Nazi tattoos and uniforms and emblems, it's real clear that these are public-private partners and that they are right in line with all of the goals of fascism writ large. But now, he says, the goal of their special military operation has shifted to de-Satanization. And he says, literally, he's concerned about the Church of Satan, which allegedly has spread across Ukraine. And as you probably are aware, the Church of Satan is all over the United States. And as far as I know, I've certainly seen references to this. I don't have a copy of the manual for the clergy in the military. But at least they seem to be a recognized denomination in the U.S. military. Not surprising there, because they're the main honchos there in the Pentagon seem to be adherents of the Church of Satan, and so is the Pope Satan in chief of the U.S. military, the puppet. What do you think about all of this, David? How do we put this in perspective? It's interesting to me that at least things that are being poo-pooed in the United States are being openly talked about in Russia, because they seem to admit it. It's clear to them exactly what they're dealing with, and that's horrible to think about, but it's true.
Well, if we go, let's go to the root. You know, to be radical means to go to the root. So if we go to the root of Satanism and the idea of exorcism, the foundation is a lie. I cloak the lie as a narrative projected upon the truth. Okay, so we have truth in this corner, and then in this corner we have the narrative that needs to be sold. And that narrative has been going on since the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was sold to Eve. So the foundation of the Satan, the Church of Satan, and the ultimate global agenda to have a one world rulership in an adversarial or satanic context is to destroy the truth by obfuscating it with a lie. We project the lie over the truth. Okay, so when to suggest that Putin is the chief exorcist, let's to put it in context and to bring it within the grasp of most people, try this on. Okay, Christ is equivalent to truth. Yeshua is the way, the truth, and the life. And the principles that he laid down for good government and good and a relationship with our Father in heaven are the principles that America is founded on, not was, but is. We've abandoned those principles as a people, and we've bought into a narrative, and now that narrative has grown legs and has occupied the media and is occupying the White House, is occupying the Christian institution in this country, and to the degree that the narrative has usurped the truth, although the narrative can't really usurp the truth, it can only cloak the truth, it can obfuscate it so we can't see it. But to the degree that the American people have bought into the lie, it's a powerful delusion such that everybody is deceived by it. Okay, Putin's coming along. He's been accused of being an antichrist for decades. You know, old Hal Lindsey and et cetera have painted a narrative that Russia is the antichrist or that the leader of Russia ultimately, and there's this whole narrative going on inside the Christian institution, and it's always Russia's fault. But now here comes Russia pointing back at America and Ukraine and saying, look, folks, you're being lied to. And this, And so this is the context that Putin is now dubbed Antichrist killer or narrative killer or exorcist killer, because Putin is actually coming out and finally telling the truth. No, 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 you guys, America and Ukraine are acting like an Antichrist because they're opposed to the truth. And so the truth relative to the lie is the adversary of each other. Okay, so in other words, you know, when Yeshua was yelling at the Pharisees back in the day, he was calling them to be the sons of the devil, and they were accusing Yeshua of being Beelzebub. And so we've always had this battle going on between truth. And, you know, Scripture says that there are many antichrists. So we've had many antichrists for hundreds of years.
We got dozens right there
on
our TV
every
day.
I'll wrap this up. So Putin gets dubbed the Antichrist or the Antichrist buster or the exorcist and really all he's doing is exposing the truth that Ukraine is a petri dish of Satanism because of their involvement with the West and the Ukraine is what Putin is attempting to demonstrate to the world is, and everything that we've been told here in the West about Ukraine is a lie because the administration is so steeped in involvement in Ukraine that when the truth comes out, and mark my words, when the truth comes out about what's going on in Ukraine and how those people in power now overthrew the Ukrainian government in 2014 and set up their child trafficking ring using Ukraine as a center hub, and the whole satanic church buying and selling of infants and child sacrifice, and how Ukraine was the center of that. That's what the chief exorcist is attempting to expose to the rest of the world, and just by telling the truth, that in itself is the exorcism.
Well, okay, and let's make a couple things. I mean, I have always known that Putin had a pretty sordid history. The guy is a KGB, NKVD. Who knows how many people he has killed in order to get to his position. He certainly understands how to use power. I don't doubt that he has done a whole lot of really nasty things. And yet, the irony here is inescapable. It's that we have evil essentially calling out evil, if you will. I want to read one quote from this Newsweek story. This is the one that ought to really have people sitting back on their haunches. This is Vladimir Putin saying, quote, what's going on? And referring to the West, he said, this is a complete denial of humanity, the overthrow of faith and traditional values. Indeed, the suppression of freedom itself has taken on the features of a religion, outright Satanism. And you cannot deny that what the guy said and what he is quoted in English as having said is absolutely true.
What Putin is to Russia, what Trump was to America. He is being attacked. And yes, he has an interesting history. Yes, you know, head of the KGB and et cetera. And yes, pot calling the kettle black, and you know, you can go all there, but we have to remain objective, and we can't fall prey to a narrative. It's incumbent upon us as the disciples of Christ to get to the bottom of this, else we get caught up in the narrative and find ourselves perpetuating it. So it is incumbent upon us as the sovereigns of America to know what our agents and representatives are up to, and to the degree that we step into our capacity as sovereign and hold our government accountable and hold ourselves accountable and responsible to our Father in heaven, we'll be given the insight as to what's really going on. And if we don't love the truth, we'll be sent a powerful delusion so that we'll believe a lie. So we got to remember, and here's the key to overcoming, is understand our covenant with our Father, and understand that all we need to do is ask for wisdom, and our Father gives generously to all without finding fault. So, is Putin on the right side, or is Putin inside the narrative? You know, is Trump on the right side, or is Trump in the narrative? All these are legitimate questions to ask. We need to be on watch and on guard, and just trust that the truth will ultimately come to us, and, you know, be watching for the truth to be revealed.
Well, and here's the key, and this is where I wanted to go too, David. I think you've already kind of headed there. And that is, people look at this, and, you know, you mentioned Trump. Okay, I have a whole lot of things that I have a real problem with Trump on. The red flag laws, for example. Obviously, Operation Warp Speed and the great big lie of take the poison poke. He at best was duped by the likes of the Faucis and the Burks and the others into at least unwillingly, but being duped into participating in the death of so many people. That's horrible. And yet, you know, compare the alternatives and recognize the Satanism. So when people look at this, I will suggest, hey, there is a way to determine whether or not what Vladimir Putin is saying is true, whether he's a good guy or not, I don't care about. But whether we look and see what he's saying, what he said is what we're seeing is outright Satanism. And all you have to do is look at Scripture, have a good understanding, and know that when you see evil being called good and good being called evil, we were warned. And I said for years, if you look at the Scriptures and see all of the things that the Creator of the universe says, these are abominations. They're not just bad, they're evil bad, and in a lot of cases, like a man lying with a man as with a woman, they carry a death penalty, according to Scripture. And what are the cases that we see? They're being taught. They're not just being subsidized. They're not just calling evil good and good evil. They're saying, hey, this is superior. The things that the Bible says are abomination, we're going to mandate, subsidize, teach your kids, and if you don't like it, we may just kill you. And that tells you everything you need to know when it comes to, is it correct to say what we're seeing is outright Satanism or not? Let me throw one more story out on that score, David. This came out, on Thursday. From the so-called National Health Service in the UK, in other words, British socialized medicine. You ready for this? You know, after they have been teaching kids, and remember California just recently said, how dare parents in other states think that they have any right over their kids, not only sexual education, but sexual future. We think if we want to transgender them and cut off their breasts if they're girls or their penis if they're boys, inject them full of puberty blocking drugs, we not only want to do that, we want to override your rights as a parent. We may just extradite them to California and do it whether you like it or not. Well, in the UK, get this, their socialized medicine is now warning that kids that have been transgendered may have just been going through a transient phase. And this is a, they say, oh yeah, you gotta be aware of it. This, I might be a girl today kind of thing, or I might be a boy, but I have an outie, that I'm gonna take off. Well, that just might be a transient phase, particularly it says for prepubertal children. I don't know if I've, that's an English as opposed to an American sounding word, but in any case, this shouldn't be a factor in clinical decision making. And, in other words, what they're saying is, hey, you know, maybe you shouldn't be cutting off kids' genitalia for what looks like a little transient phase. And it's a very, very permanent and even deadly solution, particularly for future generations, to a problem that is arguably at worst transient, at least if sanity rules. Go ahead.
In the old covenant, Israel, when Israel strayed and went after the narrative of the world, went after the world, they wanted a king, they wanted to be like other nations, God divorced Israel. Israel had a covenant with our father, and they ended up in a powerful delusion, and they were destroyed by their enemies, Assyria and Babylon. And we are facing the same thing today. If we don't get back to the acceptance and realization that we're one nation under God, that we have a covenant with our Father, then all these things that are happening, we are the worst of all. To claim that we're one nation under God and then walk in rebellion to that covenant is to bring upon ourselves all of the curses that would come, even worse than a nation like Russia that isn't one nation under God. At least they don't have a foundation to show that they are. So the irony that our enemies would be like Putin telling us, warning us that Ukraine and our involvement in Ukraine is evil because of the, and I'm getting to the children, the abuse of children, and the fact that we're allowing that abuse in our country, And the fact that's a daily occurrence and that we're aware of it and that we're tolerant of that in any way at all is as a full-scale rebellion to the natural law and the truth, the self-evident truth of gender and sex. And the idea that our doctors and our medical industry and even our churches and our legal profession would be sustaining this abomination. Putin, I'm sorry, he's absolutely right in calling America an antichrist. And okay. So if we would accept that and get on our knees and realize, okay, you know what, we really have let this thing go too far, and bring it back to the fundamental realization that we're the children of God and America is in that covenant, I think we would see a transformation. The delusion would pop, the narrative would be over, and we would have a revival in this country unlike we've ever seen in the history of the world.
Well, that would be nice, David, but on the other hand, I can't help but think that the other side of the coin seems to be a lot more likely to happen first, because it's literally at hand. And before we have the music come up, I got to mention a couple of things. We saw this week more warnings about the fact that the U.S., thank you to the Biden regime, is literally out of diesel. There were a bunch of oil company execs that got together and said, you know, we are running at what few remaining refineries that make gasoline and diesel fuel and jet fuel, what few remaining refineries that are actually still producing are finding is that they're literally at full capacity. But as far as all of those that have been shut down, they basically said, hey, good luck, they're not going to be reopened. In other words, there is so much Big Brother regulation and attempted destruction that the refineries that have been closed, and no refineries have been built in years, will stay closed, because nobody is stupid enough in this environment to say, I think I'll bring something with a multi-year return that might cost hundreds of millions or $1 billion to get back online, because they're not going to let me run it anyway. So on all of those fronts, on the economic fronts, things are getting very ugly. We moved closer to major transit shutdowns. There were some issues with the rails that are coming, with trucking, that indicates that there are some big problems there. All of these things are fundamental to the economy, and all of these things have been undermined. I want to throw out one more story. We got about 5 minutes left, and then we'll kind of summarize what all of this means and where we go, as if we already didn't know. But a Republican congressman this week appeared on a news show, and I'm glad to see at least some of them coming out and having the, just the integrity to say what we all know. He said it this way: everyone knows Joe Biden isn't in charge of anything. And let's face the reality, there's a secretive cabal of elitists that are actually running America. Oh, gee, do you think?
Well, at this point, they're their own worst enemy. By pretending that there's nothing wrong with Joe Biden, they're causing people to flee the people that used to support him, because anyone that has any cognitive abilities at all can see right through the fraud that Joe Biden is being propped up. And then they can extrapolate from there, using their common sense, that we're in trouble. So that's why this next election coming up is so fascinating, is so interesting. But the momentum has to shift, and I think it has shifted, and we're about to find out as we go through this election to what degree the momentum has shifted, and we have to add to that momentum.
Okay,
and again, it's just by accepting the reality that we've been duped, owning that, and turning that around. It really is as simple and as complex as that.
Well, let me throw out, I don't like to do predictions or dates, but in this case, I think this one's a lead pipe cinch. I'll just toss it out there. I think in the last couple of weeks, and especially days leading up to the election, we're going to see the press try to sell us another bill of goods. And it's going to say something like, who'd have thought it? There was supposed to be a red wave, but no, Americans love Joe Biden. They want abortion. They want all of the great, wonderful things that the almighty Fuhrer is bringing to them. And now we're seeing this huge polling numbers. There'll be lies, we know this, but they'll claim that the polls have reversed and that there won't be a red wave and that maybe the socialists will hang on to Congress. All of it is essentially about trying to grease the skids for the big fix that they've already got planned. And you know, it's not like I disagree that people ought to stand up and do the right thing and so forth. But most importantly, I think people should not be fooled. Go ahead.
Well, you know, it's easier to believe a lie than to believe that you've been lied to. I don't remember who gets credit for saying that. It might have been.
It's Mark Twain.
So, we've been lied to for so long that we've accepted this lie as a truth because we didn't love the truth. And America was supposed to be a beacon of light. We are the beacon of light. And when that light goes dark, how great is the darkness? We're supposed to be the salt of the earth. We were the leader of the free world, and now we're being invaded by a third world. And the objective in this treason is to overthrow the American people and the substance of truth that we as a people are supposed to represent. We've abdicated our position and our sovereignty, and we've given our country over to indolence and ignorance and apathy and complacency. If we turn that around by stepping up and just demanding the truth in all circumstances.
Okay.
So thank you, Carrie Lake, and thank you other politicians who are running on that principle.
Okay, and that's a good point. Let me throw out one more thing that I think is encouraging as we wait for the music. Really, Janet, this is a headline from a leftist rag out of the UK, and I like to read the Daily Mail because even though they really swing hard left, they will at least, unlike the WAPO and New York Times, occasionally let something like this go through. And it says, really, Janet, referring to the Treasury Secretary, or at least the woman pretending to be one on TV, Treasury Secretary Yellen says she sees no signs, no, none whatsoever, I tell you, of a recession, much less the greatest depression in U.S. history, in the U.S. economy, despite two previous periods of negative growth, falling stock and housing markets, and soaring out-of-control inflation. So here's the Daily Mail actually at least making fun of yet another blind bat trying to convince people that no, pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. It's what I tell you. It's not what your wallet and your senses and your lack of ability to provide food tells you. So no, she doesn't believe a recession is looming, and the UK's Daily Mail at least isn't buying it. Go ahead. Got about a minute.
We're in a race to the finish line. The race is the truth against the lie, the delusion against the truth. And they will do everything. When I say they, the enemies of the truth, the adversary, Satan, those who use lies to propagate a narrative which keeps them in control and power. That's what the ultimate objective is to obfuscate a truth while they continue to lie because their days are numbered. And so that's all they have left is in the face of a worldwide global depression to tell us that everything is fine. Everything's copacetic. We can expect that kind of a narrative to be promoted, Mark.
All right. Well, and for the rest of us, of course, we know the answer. Come out. Don't be fooled. Don't be deceived. That's the singular primary message that keeps coming through Revelation 24. There are lots of others, of course, but it's all about the deception. And you're correct. One of the things we need to be able to do is to give an account, to give an answer for the hope that's within us and for why it is that we can see through the great big stinking lies and know what we need to be doing in such a time as this. There are so many other things we could have talked about today but didn't, but they all basically fit into that same category. If we will have eyes to see and if we'll walk in obedience, He'll show us the truth. We can use the standard of His Word, and all of that will help us to know what we need to be doing in such a time as this. So, hey, thanks, David. Shabbat shalom, folks.